6 seconds left. Hallett gets it up top. Marcia to the right. Big shot! Score! Shay Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shay Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Thursday. Sandwich day in between games after the Golden Knights got a big victory over the Calgary Flames 7-3 last night, getting their 40th victory on the year, 84 points on the ledger. A Golden Knight indeed. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish bringing you all Golden Knights action all week long, each and every day here on Fox Sports Radio. And what a night, Frank Harnish.
It was a great night for Golden Knights fans, obviously, and then it got even better afterwards when we were over at the beer house and the place was absolutely packed and we heard the chants back and forth, Canada, Canada, no, USA, USA. Great women's hockey game. I know you hate the shootout, but the excitement level was through the roof. The roof was just blowing off that place. People standing outside 5 or 6 deep. So not one, but two. Two excellent hockey games, and the result we wanted in both of them.
They have, and a special thanks to all the fans out there who have reached out and expressed concern for the health of Frank Harnish after his accident. I went to the doctor today, came back 100%, and we could not be happier to hear that news, Frank.
Yeah, doctor said I don't have to see him again. He wants like a review in like 9 months or something like that. He said if there's any trouble, to let him know. But at this point, I can start doing everything that I used to do in the past. Just take it easy and slow in it, and don't just try to go back and lift the weight that I used to do, but I couldn't do that right now anyway. So
that's great. It's so good to have you fit and healthy and back with us. We got a big show today. We're going to have some giveaways from MJ Christensen. We're going to hear from Alex Tuck. We're going to hear from John Merrill. And we're going to hear from our very special guest in studio, guy we see at the rink all the time, guy we see at the arena all the time, writer for HockeyBuzz.com, Sheng Peng is with us today. Welcome, Sheng.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going really well. Glad to have you here. It's always fun to see you at the rink, and now we get to pick your brain about Golden Knights hockey.
Very exciting, yeah.
And more than just Golden Knights hockey, because with the Olympics going on and everything, at some point we need to get into the international hockey and stuff, because you wrote an article on hockey in China with the Beijing Games coming up and that kind of stuff that I thought was an excellent piece.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that. We've got some of that coming up later, but let's get to last night's game. 7-3, and guys, it was one of those back and forth and back and forth, and fortunately for the Golden Knights, it ended on fourth, but the big play of the game was probably the called back goal on the offsides.
Yeah, and those two consecutive goal challenges won by Gallant, 2 games in a row. Very nice.
And big kudos to Tony Cruz and the video team, Frank, for getting it right both times, because otherwise the goal stands and 2 minutes in the box.
Yeah, and the one 2 games ago against Anaheim, that one was pretty clear. But last night's was really close. It could have gone either way, but he still told Turk, yeah, make the challenge. They were offside, and you looked at it, and it was razor thin, and it's one of those things I think they're going to be looking at in the offseason to maybe change a little bit, because you've heard a lot of coaches and some of the players and teams and that saying that it's not in the spirit of the game, but by the letter of the law in the game right now, the way it's written, it was clearly offside, and it was Vegas's big plus. And it was funny, Clayton, because we were watching the game together, and at that point I remember saying, look, Vegas scored, then Calgary scored, Vegas scored, then Calgary scored. Well, Vegas scored and Calgary just scored, and it doesn't matter that it wasn't allowed. We need to get the next goal now. And once they got that one and got that 2-goal lead, it was pretty much over, because Calgary, that kind of doused the flames at that point.
It's almost like they stopped skating, Sheng, at that point. And when you talked to a lot of folks around the league, and we saw earlier in the year Alex Tuck was called for offsides with his skate in the air, that goal called back. That was what the issue was last night, skate in the air. What is the feeling around journalists, around coaches, players, about that rule?
Well, I think most people, we are not big fans of it. You know, we want to see more scoring. Everyone wants more scoring, and this is taking away from scoring.
Which is more frustrating, the offsides rule or goalie interference?
Probably goalie interference.
Because nobody knows what that is.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just talking goalie interference. The old catch, no catch, goalie interference. And Cam Talbot clearly displeased with what goalie interference is calling. And he's really been the first guy that sort of stepped up and went on a tirade about, let's make a decision about what this is.
Well, he won't be the last.
Yeah, I don't think you will either. It seems like that's going to be one of the hot-button issues. And Gary Bettman at least addressed it at the All-Star game, saying, you know, if you have to look for something, if you have to create a reason, then it probably shouldn't be called. We've seen a little bit maybe of a quicker review since he said that. Do you think that maybe the officials are buying into what Gary Bettman's selling?
Well, you know, we talk about what Gary said. When you're looking at an offside, aren't you looking for a problem? Aren't you looking for something that wasn't necessarily there? So it's the same kind of thing there. So maybe with that, they're going to be a little more lenient on the offsides next year or in the future.
Yeah, and with the offsides, I think that at least that's still a little bit more cut and dry because it is or it isn't. But goalie interference, that's so much interpretation in that. And I did like what Bettman said, and that's one thing I do like about the NHL. They're not afraid to make changes even during the season. You know, a lot of leagues will say, well, at the end of the season, we'll review something. They're going to review this. But he made the statement at the All-Star break, and he said, look, if we're taking so long that they're looking at seven different angles and trying to find a reason to call it, then just go with the call that was on the ice. And I think that's right. Whether it was for your team or against your team, if you're looking that hard for it, that's not conclusive evidence.
Yeah, it's not, and we'll see how it gets played out, but it's one of those issues, too, and we see this in other sports, that they'll take something that's sort of people try to game the rules and sort of skirt their way around it, and that should be a competition committee focal point, I would think, in the offseason.
Well, certainly, though, Vegas has benefited from this rule this year. Gallant's definitely won more challenges than he's lost.
Mm-hmm. He has. When we think about those back-to-back games with Malcolm Subban with the coach's challenge on the interference. But a lot to discuss, and that'll be a fun thing for us to look at over the summer as the competition committee and those folks get together. The one thing, though, that I think that we can all agree on is that Ryan Carpenter has been a pretty good addition to this team.
A good addition? I'd say a great addition. I don't know what it is that George McPhee sees in players that other people don't. What he saw in William Karlsson, that obviously Tortorella and everybody in Columbus had no idea. Who knows where he saw it from, but he saw something special. They had a team here that was playing great. And we're talking with the trade deadline coming up, and we're going to get into that in a little bit as well. But one of the big questions is, do you mess with the chemistry at all? Well, the one piece that they have missed with the chemistry during this season is bringing in Ryan Carpenter. And he thought that he was maybe going down to the AHL when he got the news from San Jose because he was packing his bags one way or another. When he found out he was coming here to Vegas, he was pretty ecstatic about it. But San Jose, it seemed like they didn't know what to do with him and didn't necessarily want him. They wanted him, but they weren't thrilled about keeping him around, certainly not at the NHL level. Nobody else was jumping up to get him. And McPhee had said, well, we were looking at him before he was available, before we even claimed off waivers, and everybody's like, well, that's just coach speech. No, you weren't. Well, obviously, they really were. I don't know what it is that he sees in people that other people don't, but what an eye for talent this guy has.
Well, yeah, speaking of Carpenter, I talked to an AHL scout who told me that he actually was a very big fan of Carpenter going back to last year when Carpenter was playing mostly with the Barracuda in the AHL. And he said that the difference with Carpenter from now to San Jose earlier in this year is that he is assertive. He's found the assertiveness in his game that he had last season, and we can see that.
And that's the voice of Sheng Peng, lead writer for HockeyBuzz.com. You can get him on Twitter, at Sheng_Peng, to read him. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. And Ryan Carpenter was right at the center of the action. He was the first guy to get on the board last night and set the tone. He is your best mattress play of the game. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guarantee, Ryan Carpenter.
Joining them up front on this line, Thomas Hekin, his second NHL game, trying to spin away. He does. Feeds it back door block. Carpenter back there. Score!
One to nothing Vegas, a backdoor backhand tweener, Sheng Peng. We said it was worthy of Roger Federer, of Nick Kyrgios, of Wimbledon, and the Australian Open.
Well, the play I want to highlight there was the play before Carpenter scored, where Hika in the corner turns a dime on Mark Stone. Stone is still looking for the license plate there. Hika tries to pass it over, actually, to Eakin. And then I think the flame gets in the way, gets in Carpenter's skates. Carpenter puts it away.
What's wrong with the home cooking that Thomas Hika doesn't get his first point on that.
It went off the flame first, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we know that in other arenas and that their hometown scorer might have given him assist on that anyhow. We've seen Thing do a little pinball action and still give it to him. Come on, it's the guy's first point.
Look at how long it took them to decide whether or not Halla or Nojic scored that goal in the end there. So, you know, the NHL scorers in our building, eh.
Nate, Shank, never let the truth get in the way of your agenda, okay? Never allow that to happen. We want really rooting for Hika to get his first point last night. He certainly did, and you were right. He's the guy that made the play, the impetus on it. Carpenter, though, with a beautiful finish.
Right, and again, if we're going to talk about what's best for the game and what's in the right atmosphere and everything, Hika made the play. When you work that hard, we see guys on secondary assists sometimes that you go like, oh, it bounced off his leg or did this or that, and he wasn't even part of it, and he'll get an assist. I really thought Hika should have got a goal for that, an assist for that, and it would have been his first one. When you make the play and you're the one that really sets up everything, even if it's not necessarily the guy that you wanted it to go, that you planned it to go to, he still made everything happen. That goal certainly does not happen without him. So I think in the spirit of the game, he should have got an assist. But you know what? He didn't. He'll still get one down the road here. He's a good player, and he's played well in the opportunities that he's had.
He has, and certainly the impetus for that play. Well, the guy that was an impetus for action all night long was our Brankus team reality, a player of the game, and that was Alex Tuch. The goal, the assist, the fight, the Gordie Howe hat trick for young Alex really asserted himself in the lineup last night. Your player of the game, brought to you by Brankus team reality, your home sold guaranteed, Alex Tuch.
Hollow the other way for Perron. Knifing down the wing, trying to cut into the middle. Spins back, feeds Tuch, looking, shot, score! Alex Tuch, short side on Rudick. And the Golden Knights have the lead again. Corner. Gulak, double teamed by Howland and Tuch. Puck loose toward the front of the net. Perron. Pinballs around the Tuch. Out high, Spezza. Drive, and he scores! Lucas Spezza fires it home. His second of the season. And the Golden Knights have a 5-3 lead. Looking to move it in. Perron there, too. And Brody will reset. Right now, talking a little bit of a skirmish with Hamonic, and they're going to drop the gloves. Tuch has those long arms, long reach, lands a couple of rights on Hamonic. Hamonic trying to steady himself, lands a couple of short rights of his own.
Well, first NHL fight for Alex Tuch. Hamonic's been in this situation before, but Tuch holding his own, and to a little pat at the end of it. Alex Tuch has had himself a game. That would be the Gordie Howe hat trick right there for Alex Tuch. I think that's a first for a Vegas Golden Knight player. The goal, assist, and a fight.
And an eventful night for Alex Tuch continues. He and Hamonic dropping the gloves.
And special thanks to Dave Gosher, AT&T Sportsnet, for fight night coverage. Shang Pang, goal, assist, fight, highlight of the night for you, for Alex Tuch.
Well, first, Gordie Howe hat trick, not just for the Golden Knights, but of his career. And a highlight for me, though, was his goal, how he backchecked on Michael Ferland, took the puck in the neutral zone, and gave it to Halla, gave it to Perron. Perron did the work down low, and then Tuch beats his guy and scores.
There was a lot of dirty, greasy goals last night, Frank, but Alex Tuch was one of quality.
Yeah, he was definitely one of quality there. And it was kind of interesting because you had a feeling that something kind of had happened there. In that third period, the teams were starting to get a little bit of physical. There was a little chippiness going around. And Tuch basically, he found somebody. They looked at each other and said, you want to go? They got it out of their system. They seemed like they both got tired out. It was kind of weird because it's not often when you see two guys fight and when they're done, they're both smiling and laughing and patting each other in the back like, yeah, let's go to the box and get a little rest here or something like that because we're kind of worn out. It wasn't really a lot of animosity there, it didn't feel like. It just seemed like, you know what? This game's kind of physical. Let's get it done. I know everybody wants the Kings to be the rival here, but last night's game, Calgary, they do not like the way that Vegas has beat them now twice this year.
Well, they certainly don't. And Frank and Chris Chapman had the opportunity to catch up with Alex Tuch after practice and ask him about his monumental night.
I mean, he was known for those, so I bet he had a few up his sleeve there.
He only had two of them in his entire career.
Really? Well, that's something new that I learned today. But no, I mean, it's pretty cool. I wasn't really thinking about it when it happened, but I guess circumstances give me a little luck.
What were you thinking about before the fight? Because you took on one of the tougher guys on the ice out there. Were you making sure that it's like, hey, you know, I'm a big guy, and if this is my first NHL fight, I don't want this to look bad.
Well, I was just making sure he was close to my size. I didn't even notice who it was, really. It was kind of heat of the moment, and he asked me, so I was like, all right, let's do it. So, no, I thought it was a really good fight, and Hamnick's a pretty tough guy, and I thought it was a good tilt, and it was respectable. I mean, I talked to him. I thanked him for giving me my first fight afterwards and stuff, so we were laughing a little bit in the penalty box. I mean, it's part of the game, and when it's over, it's over. It's not like we're holding grudges. It's not like we're going to be fighting every game we play. But, no, it was really good, and I was happy to get my first one out of the way.
It seemed like you were in the box for about 15 minutes. I mean, next time, do you want to bring, like, an iPad or something in there with you to kind of pass the time?
I don't know. Maybe a pillow. It was towards the end of the game. I was a little tired. No, I had some good company. Those guys in the penalty box are nice, and I was talking to them and stuff. But, I mean, I was sitting in there, and it was whistle after whistle after whistle. And the whole game had, like, very few whistles, I felt like, until that moment. I was like, of course, my luck, right? So, yeah, I mean, it was a good break, honestly. So it was much needed after. I was already up to like 16 and a half minutes by that point, so it wasn't a bad break, honestly.
We know your family's in town, and your dad, you know, he's obviously maybe your biggest fan. Did he give you any advice, like, next time maybe throw a right instead of grabbing, or did he give you any kind of advice?
No, actually, people were telling me that that they're glad I fight like my mom, honestly. So, no, actually, we got a picture. I gotta find it. I think so. He was sitting in one of our family friend seats, actually, and he was down in the corner. So he was probably like 40 feet away, and I saw a picture of him standing up banging on the glass. So that was, I think, he was pretty jacked up and stuff. So he was excited about the game, and it was good to get on the scoreboard for him and stuff. Well, my family's in town, and they were happy. So when I guess threw the gloves off, he was pretty pumped up. I mean, he's never really seen me fight before. I think won a rookie tournament, but besides that, nothing really.
You're kind of like a man about town. We've seen you at Chris Angel. What's been your favorite show that you've seen in Vegas so far?
Favorite show? I can't say there's a favorite one, honestly. I don't play like that. Chris Angel is awesome. Love Cirque du Soleil, Beatles Love. Been there a couple times. I got to go see a couple more Cirques, I think. Watched Daniel Tosh do stand-up early on in the year. What else? I liked the Blue Man Group. That was fun. So I've enjoyed all the shows.
Check the Blue Man out when they perform an intermission. Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I've seen some stuff, like when we're standing there waiting, that comes up on the TV right before we walk out, and I see them doing some stuff. So it's pretty funny. I like their act, and it was pretty interesting.
I'll have to edit that out so Coach Gallant doesn't know that you see the Blue Man during intermission.
Not a big deal. We're just waiting there to go out, so we see a tiny bit of it. Nothing crazy.
I know you were joking that people said it's a good thing that you fight like your mom, but did you think at all that, that when you were in that fight out there that, you know, you're doing it in front of the Calgary moms out there, and you were throwing your body around and beating up a lot of those Flames players? I mean, I'm sure the moms didn't like that.
Wait, it was mom's trip?
Yeah, it was their mom's trip.
Oh, no way, really? Oh, well, I mean, I know one of them. I know Johnny Gaudreau's mom because I play with Johnny's younger brother, Maddie, and stuff, so... I don't think I hit Johnny too much, and I think he had a point, so his mom's gonna be happy. But I mean, I don't know. We have two wins on our dad's trip. I don't know if Calgary's gonna have another mom's trip after this year or not. But no, it was good. I mean, hey, some of these moms are probably a lot tougher than you think. Honestly, being hockey moms, they're a little it's a different breed. Let's just say that. And knowing my mom and her friends,
I'm sure you're not aware of it, but the Oscars are coming up on March the 4th. So. If there was a movie made about the Vegas Golden Knights, who was going to play Alex Tuck in that movie?
Oh, who's going to play? Oh, jeez. I honestly don't know. I actually saw a funny tweet a couple weeks ago. This is probably why you guys are asking me this. The guy from Entourage. I don't really see it, but Vince from Entourage. That was someone compared me to him, and I was happy about it. I don't see it, but I was happy about it. It was kind of funny.
Do you have a favorite sports movie growing up as a kid? Maybe like Mighty Ducks or something?
Yeah, I really like Mighty Ducks, but I was I actually like Youngblood, which is a little bit more mature audience than Mighty Ducks. But no, I always watched Mighty Ducks. M1, M2, M3 had them on VHS or whatever. And then but my favorite was definitely Youngblood. That was kind of, that's what I always thought junior hockey was and growing up. And it was probably a little different, honestly, nowadays, but no, that was always my my favorite movie, honestly.
That was the voice of Alex Tuck, a very smart guy picking Youngblood. That is the greatest hockey movie ever made.
Well, that's not true, because Slapshot is the greatest hockey movie ever made. However, Youngblood's pretty good, and you know what? Sounds like he might be a Cynthia Gibb fan.
He might be, I think.
But, are we all?
But good on you, Alex Tuck. Always having fun, and I had a good time last night with everything that he was involved in, Shannon.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the most quotable Golden Knight. But yeah, going back to what he said about he didn't really know who he was fighting. He just wanted to make sure that that guy was about the same size. Very sensitive about that, because after the game last night, he mentioned that 4 years ago, John Scott took on a 6'1 player and mm-hmm. got knocked out. Mm-hmm. And Alex Tuck remembered that. And he said he did not want a repeat of that. He did not want to take on a 5'10, take on Johnny Gaudreau and get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the fact that he said that he was actually looking for somebody to fight that maybe wasn't that big, maybe that channeled his inner love for Youngblood with, like, come on, pretty boy, let's go.
That's sort of the best. If you've not seen Youngblood, go out and see Youngblood. Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves in Youngblood. It is a fantastic.
Oh, you know, they have the Keanu Reeves goalie mask at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Nice. Yeah. Keanu Reeves is awesome. He's one of the great people that you will meet in Hollywood. Sometimes Hollywood folk are a bit challenging to deal with. Keanu Reeves, not the case. He's a spectacular.
There's no prima donnas in Hollywood.
He is a spectacular human being, Keanu Reeves. Well, remember, when the Golden Knights win, you win too. Make sure to listen to us here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, after every Golden Knights win for your chance at a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen. Diamond Jewelers. We are going to give that away right now. 702-876-1340. That's 702-876-1340. In honor of the Gordie Howe hat trick, caller number 3, you're getting that $50 gift card. Give us a call right now. 702-876-1340. When we come back, Sheng Peng, Frank Harnish, and myself going to break down some stuff that's happened all around the league. Plus, we're going to hear from John Merrill as well, right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for hockey in Las Vegas.
Ciao zusammen, ich bin der Lukas Pisa for the Golden Knights. Ich bin da mit Frank Harnish, Fox Sports 98.9 FM, 13:40 AM. Das ist alles die Heim für die Golden Knights.
Here's Thomas Eakin, his second game. Tried to feed the middle. Carpenter scores! A backhander at close range. Carpenter strikes first for Vegas. 1-0 Knights. Top of the right circle for Riley. He centers, scores! Tipped home by Carlson. 2-1 Knights. The corner, Marchessault up to the slot. Miller shooting, knocked down and trickled into the goal. Vegas takes the lead back, 3-2 Knights. It's stolen at center. Vegas comes ahead. Howlett to the left side and Perron through the left circle, pounded on the far side. Now he gets it back. Centers, Tuck shooting. He scores. Alex Tuck puts Vegas back in the lead. 4-3 Knights. Battling, and it pops toward the middle. Swing and a miss. Loose puck comes near side. At the point. Score! And Spezza has 100th career point. Vegas leads 5-3. On the left side, Spezza threw it towards the left circle. Now it's Halla back to Perron. Protects the puck. Left point. Spezza scores! Eric Halla tipped it at the side of the goal. Vegas leads 6-3. Still wondering if they're going to change that scoring on Ryan Carpenter's goal. It's a right wing shot. They score! From the draw, Vegas scores at 7.
7 goals for the Golden Knights in a 7-3 victory in game number 60, climbing to 40 points, or 40 wins on the season, 84 points on the year. The Golden Knights are rolling. And with all the action last night, one of the things that got lost was the return of John Merrill to the lineup. Shea Theodore placed on IR. John Merrill activated. He was in the lineup last night. I had the opportunity to catch up with him after practice and talk to him about his triumphant return.
It was awesome. Just to be back. back out there in front of that environment at T-Mobile and back in the locker room with the guys, it was so much fun.
Team like Calgary had a pretty good go at it with them up there, had another real tight game until the late moments in this. What is it about this team that matches up well with you guys?
You know, I'm not sure. I think it's more got to do with our game. You know, when we're playing our game, we're tough to play against, and we're playing fast. So I think when we stick to our identity and play a certain way, it doesn't matter who's on the other side of the ice. It's about us.
When you're out there with Colin Miller, how fun is it to know that you got that big shot waiting on the other side of the blue line?
Yeah, he's a great player. I've had fun playing with him a little bit this year, and I'm hoping that we can stay together a little while here and only continue to grow our chemistry and get better and better.
So a lot of Canadians were in the crowd last night. We did the post game at Beer House. It was full, all of them catching the overtime game of the U.S. women's team. Went home disappointed again. Did you get to see any of the end of the women's gold medal performance?
Yeah, we had it on in the locker room after the game, and I was happy for them. I know it was a disappointing last couple of Olympics for the American girls, but to see them to win last night and all their hard work that I know they put in was pretty cool.
No, this being Hockey is for Everyone Month, it's been a big push for looking at women's hockey and sort of reevaluating it and where it is internationally. What are your thoughts on women's hockey and its future in the U.S. and globally?
I think last night was a great example of how far that the sport's come for women, and that was an unbelievable hockey game. I think the whole Olympics was you saw a lot of really good hockey from the women, and I think hopefully it inspires more young girls to get involved and start playing the game, and the sky's the limit for them.
It certainly is. For all the girls that are out there listening to the show, like, why would you encourage them to get into hockey?
I think you learn a lot about yourself and about life in hockey. It's a very humbling game. It's a game that requires hard work and dedication, which I think are important lifelong things to learn, and I owe everything to hockey that I've learned in my life, and I think it's a great sport to just be a part of.
That was John Merrill, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harness, Sheng Peng of Hockey Buzz, and he really hit the nail on the head, Frank, about how exciting that women's game was last night, the gold medal game. Everybody at the Beer House riveted to it for some really high-quality, high-level hockey.
Not just everybody at the Beer House, everybody walking past the Beer House stopped and were just mesmerized. They had to watch it. It was about six deep outside, and it was a little chilly last night. Inside, the atmosphere was absolutely insane. We're interviewing Ryan McGill, and he's watching the game, and we're watching the game while we're asking questions, and half the time I couldn't even hear what the other person asked or what the answers were, whatever, because it was so loud in there. But just an electrifying atmosphere and just a lot of fun, and again, I know people don't like the overtime and they don't like the shootouts and this, that, and the other, but that game was on the edge of your seat. If you were not excited watching that game, that women's hockey game, then you don't have a pulse. You're a zombie, dude.
Yeah, every moment was just spectacular. And Sheng, it is one of those moments. We get to see a lot. We're fortunate enough to be a part of a lot of really cool moments. But that's on the list for me of one of the best, most fun environments that I have been in.
Well, one person wasn't thrilled by it. Lucas Biza told Jason from Sinbin that he walked out during the shootout because Spiza is Swiss, by the way, but he was just mad that such an important game was decided in such a way.
Yeah, I agree that it should not be determined by a shootout for the gold medal game. Now, in fairness, at least they put 20 minutes on the clock as opposed to the semifinals, which is 10. But even the great Micah Ruzioni, he tweeted out today, "Still don't like the shootout. Happy for the result. Exciting. Still don't like the shootout." And I am with number 21, Micah Ruzioni. You got to have another way. Cannot have a shootout in a gold medal game.
Yeah, and Gallant noted himself in a press conference today that last year Canada lost their championship game through the shootout. And he thought that was the last time that an international game of that kind of import, a championship game, would be decided in that way. But he said, well, I guess Olympic rules are different.
Yeah, tough sledding for Canada yesterday, Frank. They lose 7-3 to the Golden Knights. They lose the gold medal game in women's hockey. And then John Schuster and Team USA for USA Curling beat Canada in the semifinals. Team USA will curl for gold.
Well, yeah, and
that's what we're here for, guys, to win.
And that's exciting, and certainly curling's coming to the Orleans, and we hope to be doing something with that down the road. But getting back to the shootout, I'm not the biggest fan of the shootout, but I also don't hate it. I know one guy who really likes it is TJ Oshie, because he was tweeting out last night as well, congratulating the girls on that. Now, remember, he also tweeted when the men were playing the Czech Republic, and they lost in a shootout in that one. So, you know, the USA's got the best and the worst of it in this Olympics in the shootout. So, you know, it kind of evens itself up. But I will say this, good job by the goaltending, and the game-winning goal was a beauty, eh?
Mm-hmm. It really was. What an exciting moment for Team USA. Get a little bit of redemption. Well, if you are a Canadian of the Montreal variety, things are continually getting worse for you as a franchise. Defenseman Shea Weber will miss the rest of the season because of a foot injury that requires surgery. And, Frank, we got some breaking news, more heartbreak on the injury front for the Canadiens.
Yeah, well, you know, Shea Weber's out, and that's a big loss. But at least you have Carey Price behind him. Oh, wait, no, you don't. Carey Price Tuesday night just passed Patrick Waugh for the second most games in Montreal Canadian history by a goaltender. Jacques Plante is number one, just four games now ahead of Carey Price. So everybody thought, well, Carey Price is going to break that record in a couple weeks. Not the case. Carey Price has a concussion. He is out indefinitely. He will have to undergo the NHL concussion protocol. Now, remember, when Marc-Andre Fleury had his concussion, he missed a substantial amount of time. I don't know if this is as bad. I don't know if it's worse. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. But out indefinitely, the Montreal Canadiens, I think their playoff chances are not slipping away. They're falling off a cliff.
And Sheng, we had wondered, what are the Canadiens going to do? Are they going to stand pat? Are they going to try to get better? Are they just going to punt and give up on the season? Given these two injuries, some guys could be available for other organizations. The folks at Bodog have put out some odds about whether or not certain players will get traded. There are three Canadians that are on their board. Alex Galchenyuk, 3-1 that he's going to get traded. Max Pacioretty, 2-1. Thomas Plekanec, 5-7. Do you see any or all of these guys moving?
Well, Plekanec's, yeah, he's a UFA at the end of the season, and he's a perfect fit for kind of a third, fourth line center for a lot of teams. Not the scorer that he was, but can still play two ways. Pacioretty, from what I understand, would probably benefit from not being in Montreal, just in terms of just the pressure, the captaincy. You know, he should go somewhere where he can just play. And so if they can get the right deal for him, they'll definitely move him. The problem with Pacioretty is that he is 2 years left at $4.5 million. He's a bargain deal. So they have a lot of leverage with trading him. And in terms of Galchenyuk, yeah, Galchenyuk is understandably the long shot here. It's actually not because he's been so productive. It's actually because he has 3 years, $5 million left, and he hasn't really lived up to his potential. And so who is going to trade you what you want for your former, I believe, third overall pick? You know, you're not going to get the value for him.
By the way, also, if you want to get Pacioretty, you have to realize the fact that in 2 years he wants to come here to Vegas, because we heard him after the game out here, and he loves Turk and he loves T-Mobile, so you know, you only have him for 2 years anyhow. But, you know, it's interesting, too, because you can also bet the other sides of these odds. You can also bet odds that he won't be traded. Galchenyuk, 1-5 on that. Pacioretty, 1-3. When you mentioned Plekanec, he's even money that he won't be traded. The other favorite, though, to be traded along with Plekanec, Rick Nash of the Rangers, also at 5-7.
And Rick Nash has been an interesting study, Shang. There have been people that have been clamoring for him to come to the Golden Knights to put him on that third line, or maybe sneak him sometimes in on the second line, depending on how long James Neal is going to be out. What are your thoughts on Rick Nash?
Well, he would be a terrific fit for the Golden Knights. He plays that quick transition game, big guy, kind of like an Alex Tuck, but better. But I think with Nash, you have to remember, though, that he is not the player that he was when he was 25. He's not the 30-40 goal scorer. So he is a kind of a excellent, excellent role player now. And so don't trade, you know, a lot for him.
Some other rumors about him have been a return to Columbus, but where most people feel the odds-on favorite are is that he's going to land is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that would be a great fit. You know, if you want to start scoring more, play with Crosby.
You know, another guy that's on the list, a team that's going to be coming in here Friday night from Vancouver, Thomas Vanek, is 11-10. So about even money on Vanek to get traded as well.
He is, though, very one-dimensional, so I don't think he's going to fit in. If you want to win the playoffs, it's not going to be with Vanek.
Will it be a loss for the Vancouver Canucks if they're unable to move Vanek? Because he seemed like one of the guys over the summer that you signed for the specific purpose of dealing them for some picks at the deadline. And if they're unable to move him, is that a bad move? Did they waste a year and some salary on an unsuccessful move?
Yeah, I think so. He's also the kind of guy that I don't believe you grow with your team. Vancouver has a young team. I don't think that he's kind of the proper mentor, being as one-dimensional as he is. He would be a good help for, I think, a team's power play, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I wouldn't trade a lot for him. That's sort of the problem. You just won't get a lot for him, though.
Coming in from the Ottawa Senators, and we will see them soon, at 3-2, Mike Hoffman, and 17-10, Erik Karlsson. And Erik Karlsson, he's been bandied about in trade rumors since the summer.
Erik Karlsson, so good. I would love to see him on Vegas, but Vegas would have to decimate their farm system for him. I know that George McPhee would not do that, but he would be such a great fit here.
A lot of teams talking Tampa when it comes to Erik Karlsson. Is that a fit?
Yeah, it certainly is a fit. Tampa plays a lot of the transition game that Vegas plays, so Karlsson would be a good fit. And Tampa Bay, they can kind of afford to decimate their system, whereas Vegas as a new team cannot.
Now, there is another team that reportedly has chatted with Ottawa about Erik Karlsson and that we're very interested in trying to work out a deal for him. That is the Nashville Predators.
As if they need more help.
That's right.
On the blue line.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, they're saying they don't know if they would put one of the guys that's there right now, but could you imagine Karlsson with Subban, Josi, Ellis? It's
Emelin,
ridiculous.
That is silly. But
they have called Nash, and both teams have confirmed that they have talked about making a deal.
Yeah, they have, and they made a deal earlier in the year. They were part of that three-team trade with Duchesne and Kyle Turris. But Nashville just continually getting better. For as good as they are, is it scary for the rest of the league that Nashville is actively trying to get even better?
Yes, absolutely. I think they are probably the best team in the Western Conference.
And by the way, when what they did to Montreal to get P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, if they can pull that off, why would they not think, let's make a phone call? We've made things happen before.
And I remember just a few days ago when Montreal was in town and they were getting the wood taken to them, there were a number of people, at least in the section where I stand, that were yelling, we don't need P.K. What were we thinking? Why are we so terrible at hockey? They were yelling, complaining about not having P.K. Subban. So that still stings for the Montreal faithful.
We might have a lot more fans up there now in Montreal because they loved it here in Vegas. They were telling us how much they enjoyed our team and that kind of stuff. You know that when the Canadian teams get knocked out of the playoffs, they tend to cheer for every other team from Canada. But they liked Vegas so much, you know what? With Price with the concussion issues, which with Weber out for the season, might be selling a couple Golden Knights jerseys up there in Montreal.
The
Armory and Arsenal might want to ship some stuff up that direction.
Not a tough sell to get people from Quebec to root for Marc-Andre Fleury,
Quebec,
I'm sure.
Too.
Over Antanyemi, too.
Yeah, exactly. So I might have a few fans there in the province of Quebec. Well, if you want to see one of these Canadian teams play, we've got some tickets to Vancouver. They are coming to town on Friday, their first look at T-Mobile Arena. We'll have the pregame show for you at 7 o'clock. Puck drop at 7:30. We are going to give away some tickets right now, 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. And we saw John Merrill return last night, so let's throw one up for him. Caller number 15, you're getting those tickets to that Vancouver game, 702-876-1340. When we come back, we're going to revisit last night and the women's gold medal performance with some tweets and some shout-outs from the American players throughout the NHL right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Congratulations to Gail. She got those tickets to go to the Vancouver game. And tomorrow we will have tickets for those hated LA Kings coming to town on Tuesday. So listen to us tomorrow. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Sheng Peng of HockeyBuzz.com. You can read him each and every day there and follow him on the Twitter machine at Sheng_Peng. That's SHENG_PENG. Been great to have you here. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to what you got coming up on tap.
Well, I'm working on kind of a recap of last night. I have a different play of the game and some good trade deadline stuff. I should be talking to a former George McPhee's former assistant GM in Washington, so get a little insight into McPhee's mind a little bit. And also talked to Spezza a couple days ago, and Spezza had some good stories about kind of trade deadline psychology for players and just how it's more difficult for players in Canadian markets during the trade deadline because they're constantly being asked about their UFA status, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, so check out Shang Peng as he throws shade at our play of the game in his article. Frank, pretty big fun night last night. The NHL world captivated after their games, watching the gold medal contest between the United States and Canada, and a lot of them went to Twitter to give their support.
Yeah, definitely a lot of them went to Twitter. Before we get to that, I did want to throw this in too, because, and I know you guys know this, but I don't know if everybody out there knows this or remembers it. You know, about a year ago or so, the women's team threatened to boycott the world championships and everything else. There was a big problem there. So this women's team almost didn't even happen because of inequities and everything else out there. So kind of makes it even more that much miraculous. Maybe the animosity that they felt for the organization and the USA Olympic Committee and everybody else, maybe that helped bandy them together even more. So, but good on them last night. And certainly some of the people, I like Mike Matheson, who's from Canada, but tweeted out, "Yes, never been so nervous in my life." Why? Well, he's actually happy that the USA won because he said his girlfriend plays for Team USA, so he was a little bit torn. Do I root for the country or the girlfriend? Well, the country you can visit, you're probably still a star. The girlfriend, you know, I know it's not his wife, but, you know, the happy wife, happy life, probably this kind of goes the same thing with a girlfriend.
Yeah, you can't root against your girlfriend in the gold medal game.
The country can't give you conjugal visits.
That's... also correct.
Well, actually, if you're a hockey player in Canada, you probably can, just not with the same girl every night. Patrick Kane, you know, Kaner, because, you know, he loves the ladies as well, said, "How can you not be ecstatic for Hillary Knight, Amanda Kessel, Emily Felzer, and the rest of the USA women's hockey team? Congrats on the gold medal. You make us all proud to be an American." Kaner there, supporting the ladies as well. Justin Falk, congratulations to the USA Women on Women Gold. And, of course, our very own Vegas Golden Knights, showing a picture of Hillary Knight, said, "You can say she's a ... Golden Knight."
And that is absolutely true. And, yeah, a lot of former Team USA members as well. Michael Ruzioni is tweeting out, Jim Craig, a lot of the members of the Miracle on Ice. And was it not, Frank, the same day? Because wasn't it February, wasn't it the same day the USA won in 1980 was also the same, was the date last night, the anniversary?
Yeah, I think it might have been, I don't know. Yes, I know Chris has a job with the...
However, technically it was actually already a day ahead in Korea.
It was exactly the same.
Only the United States matters, Chris.
Exactly.
Nobody else cares about anything else.
I will say this, a very prominent member of the Golden Knights who's from Canada, not disappointed that the United States won. His comment to me was, "I've lived in this country for quite a few years."
And by the way, congratulations also Phil Kessel, because his sister Amanda, of course, plays for Team USA.
And we're going to, some of the ladies of Team USA are going to be on NHL Network next week. They're going to join our friends Jamie Hurst and Jackie Redmond for a ladies-only day on NHL On the Fly, and we hope to have some of them talking with us next week as well. Stick with us tomorrow. We're going to have Scott Stevens, former New Jersey Devil, on the program. We're going to have those tickets to give away as well tomorrow, a game day. Special thanks to Shang Peng for joining us.
Tickets for the Kings tomorrow.
For the Kings, yes. Make that clear.
Guys.
It's for the Kings. Stick around. T.C. Martin, the Doctor, is next.